Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1339. This is your host, Danny Pena. Everyone, thank you for listening. This episode, we have only a solo episode. No Paris, no Pete. But I'll be back here in a future episode. I'm actually going to be taking some time off, a little vacation here. And I'll be back with more content. Plus, Summer Game Fest is coming very, very soon. Actually, in June, very, very soon. So I hope you guys are ready for that. Been booking a lot of appointments and a couple surprises for that. All right, so on this episode, we have a special interview. If you guys are super excited about the upcoming game, which comes out in a couple of days, Tales of Kanzera Sao, I have the creative director at Surgeon Studios, Abubakar Salim, and we had a great conversation about the game. Overall, how everything started. I also did a special unboxing video with him because EA Original sent me a care package, of course, to celebrate the release of the game. And yeah, we recorded something cool. I unboxed it, and he gave me the rundown of like each item that's inside the box. And that one is going to be available on Twitter/X. I'm also going to put it up on YouTube and other places, TikTok. So make sure to follow me. Just search for Danny Pena or Godfrey, and I'll be out there and, follow me. And the content will be there. But the conversation overall, you can listen to here on GTR, and also I'm going to upload it on YouTube. All right? So first things first, head over to GamertagRadio.com. Listen to our past episodes. We have tons of content. All I have to do is go to the site, listen, or go to a podcast app. Doesn't matter which one it is. Search for Gamertag Radio. Search, subscribe, or follow. And also, if you can, post a review. Now, we always have a weekly poll that I always put up only on Spotify. So on the last episode, we talked about Fallout. So I said, hey, and I posted, are you going back to play the Fallout games? And 53.6% of you said yes, 32.1% said no, 14.3% said maybe. So it was a great conversation about Fallout. So make sure to listen to episode 1338. Make sure to check it out. It's available now on any podcast platform out there. All right, so we're going to go now to the interview, and we'll be right back after this.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
So let's talk about the game. Let's talk about the game, man. And actually, I watched your little short documentary that came out a couple days ago, man. It was good, man. It was very deep. It reminded me a lot of me growing up as a kid.
Right.
Because I also have a lot of old videos. You know, I see you know, my family, grandmother, my cousins, everybody, my dad, mom too. Mm. So now, one thing that really, once I saw that video, it reminded me also of my grandmother, because she's not a gamer, mm-hmm. but she was the one that actually got me my first Atari, the 2600. My first video game console. And that was the console that actually changed my life for me. Now, for you, what was the console and the game that actually like converted you to be a big time gamer for you as a kid?
So I would say, so my first console was like the Mega Drive. That's the first thing that I can remember, right? The mm-hmm. Sega Mega Drive. But I would say the game that really kind of made, like the game or the, you know, that changed me into a gamer or made me respect video games as a whole has to be Kingdom Hearts, like on the PS2. I'd say like that's where I really realized like, okay, games mean something different. They're powerful. They're something great. They're strong. Like the stories that they can tell are really potent. And I think that's where, you know, that's where that came from, man. Like I'd say, you know, I mean, I've been playing games, you know, even way before then as well with other games as well, like beyond the Game Boy or whatever you, but I'd say like really Kingdom Hearts made me fall in love with the artistry of games. And I say like, you know, that's the one thing that I've always loved about them is the artistry of it all.
Yeah. And what was the game that inspired you to work on your current project, which is coming out in a couple of days, by the way, Tales of Kanzera Zao?
Yeah, man. I'd say like,
it's amazing, man.
Thank you, man. Like I'd say the one that inspired me, it's funny. So the thing that gave me the kind of the jolt or the light bulb moment was I was playing Ori and the Blind Forest on my Switch, and there's a moment with the waterfall moment, the waterfall, the whole sort of chase sequence, which I struggled so hard with, man. I struggled so much. Mm-hmm. And when I actually was able to complete it, oh man, the feeling of elation, the feeling was amazing. And I remember thinking to myself, okay, I haven't actually felt this kind of feeling of like, you know, of sort of being, you know, proud of myself of completing something since the last time I played like Sonic with my father. And, you know, and again, don't get me wrong, like I've played games, you know, previously, you know, the whole time, but there was this something about that feeling of actually completing something after, you know, several tries where it felt really good. And I think that's where it kind of clicked, is like, this is how I'm going to, you know, commemorate or sort of, you know, respect the story of my father. It's going to be through a video game. And mm-hmm. that's essentially where it all clicked, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And let's talk about that, man, because I know you have a studio. Before this, you did a lot of side projects and stuff like that. Why was it important to work on this game for you, man? Because I know, and also getting the right people, the right team to be part of this project too. Like how was the process of that for you?
It was tough. Like I think like in the sense of like finding the team, like building a studio from scratch, like an actual game studio from scratch, it's a lot of work, man. It's tough. But at the same time, you know, I just really, I loved the journey of it all. It was important for me to kind of, you know, to do this because, again, I've been struggling to figure out the best way of communicating my journey of grief in, you know, be it either through film or TV or just anything, right? And even as an actor, the roles that I would do, it was almost like I was playing the character's grief. I was still kind of processing my own. And I felt like because my journey was almost, it felt so isolated, and it was only until, you know, I'd say like 5 years until I actually started talking about it and started actually accepting the fact that I'm, you know, I need to talk about this. Mm-hmm. I felt like, I wonder how many people are actually going through that same process, that similar process of keeping it in and harboring it in and feeling like I can't share this with anyone. And yeah, it just felt like this was the right thing to do. You know, this, you know, again, my father introduced me to games. He brought me, you know, he shared with me this, or allowed me to love games. When, you know, many parents at the time when I was growing up, you know, the idea of a game is a waste of time. You know what I mean? So, whereas for me, you know, my father was really, really open about that. And I think like, that's what really drove me to essentially push to make something really, really cool and awesome, and also something that's respectful of not only him, but also my journey, but also everyone else's journey of grief in that sense. Because this is something that we're all going to go through, be it either through losing, as I say, like a parent or even a friend or a pet or even a job, you know, like that journey of grief is universal, no matter who you are. And I think like it was just really, you know, for me, it was really important to kind of show that and represent that in the most honest way possible.
Yeah, that's why I'm really excited to finish the game and learn more about the world. And now for you, because something that you just mentioned about like how back in the days people will see, you know, gamers back then as like a bad thing, like they will call it nerds and all this stuff, like, oh, you're wasting your time. And I remember hearing that back in the days, even for me when I tried to get into the whole podcasting, content creation, because I was doing something totally different at that time. And a lot of folks were like laughing and making fun of me, man. Like, so that was like for you, there was a lot of that type of negativity back then for you too, growing up?
Yeah, man. Like it was just uncool. It was one of those ones where it was like, you know, playing games is like a nerdy, geeky thing. It's like, you know, it's something that you shouldn't share. And also, you know, and then to anyone, you know, to adults and even to some of my family, it was almost seen like as a waste of time. You know what I mean? Like it isn't going to, it's not going to do anything for you. Like I think, you know, I say this, like I didn't know that you could have a career in games until I actually did Assassin's Creed Origins. I genuinely had no idea how games were made and how, you know, what was going through them, that there were people behind these things. And it was only until I actually, you know, did Assassin's Creed and it kind of opened the door in regards to making me realize, oh, wow, this is an actual industry. This is a space. This is a place to kind of enjoy, play, and live in. You know, I say, like, if I knew that, I probably would have had a career in games before I was an actor. Do you know what I mean? Like, and and that's sort of the whole aspect of it all. Do you know what I mean? It was, it was like, I think growing up was, it was almost like, you know, again, I say this, I never really connected much with TV or film growing up. And, you know, TV show and like, you know, sort of books were difficult to sort of consume for me because I'm dyslexic. So really games were my only way of kind of escape and enjoyment, you know, apart from, you know, either like going outside and you know, play football with friends or anything like that. But games were my thing. And my father really saw that. And he really respected that because, again, it was either that or hanging around with the wrong types of people. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like video games saved a lot of people's lives, man. Like, you know, so I guess where you're coming from too, man. Now, I remember a couple months back watching the Game Awards with my wife, and you know, we just there hanging out, just getting ready to see the announcements and all this stuff. You know, one of my highlights was seeing you on stage. I think that was like it was a very special moment. And it's rare seeing that in games. Like, you know, I've been going to like events for years, and there's moments, highlights like that scene is very, very small. And your moment up there announcing the game during the Game Awards was very, very special, man. Like, how was that for you being on stage and finally announce the game to the world, man, for you?
Bro,
man? How
was that? It was terrifying. It was surreal, like totally surreal. I think, you know, I had no idea what was going to happen or, you know, I had an idea of what I was going to be saying, but I had no idea. I genuinely had no idea what was going to happen. And I've seen the Game Awards, you know, as I said, since I was like younger, like I've watched, you know, the Game Awards was my thing because you'd see new games announcements and there's a lot of games out there. So to kind of try and stand out in front of all them lot, like it was a lot, you know, and they're all incredible games. So then when it came to actually getting on stage and announcing it, it almost like it all became very real. Like it all became like this whole process of making this game, of getting the EA deal, like it all became real as soon as I stood on that stage. You know, because at the time beforehand, this was something that we were building, you know, behind closed doors. And yeah, we were building it, but no one knew about it apart from maybe like, you know, a few friends or family. Mm-hmm. But it really did become a real thing as soon as we stood on that, as soon as I stood on that stage and told the world, like, this is what we're building. This is why we're building it.
Yeah. Were you there by yourself or you went there with the team?
I went there with the team. Like the team was there. Like, I mean like on, like I'd say the team, EA team really essentially. And, mm-hmm. and Dana, who's our marketing, sort of manager, as well as, you know, my wife, my daughter and, you know, my sister-in-law, like, but bro, man, it was very surreal. Very yeah. surreal.
And I bet your dad probably saw that too, man. Being proud
of
you,
man. It was honestly, I can't even express, like, I've been on stages before. I've had cameras in front of my face, you know, I've worn.
Yeah, yeah.
I've done
it's a
this
different
stuff
feeling.
Before.
It's a different vibe. But
this
though.
Is so different, man. This yeah, is like, yeah. there was just something unreal about it, you know? Yeah, it was crazy. It was so crazy.
Yeah, no, this is good, man. And I'm glad that to see EA really, really pushing your project, like promoting this everywhere. I've seen that you've been doing a lot of interviews and everything too.
Yeah.
It's really cool to see that. You know, I think this game is going to create a really big buzz, man, when it comes out, man. Like, and I think it's going to be very positive. And that even when we played the demo, a lot, the previews, everything, the impressions has been great, man. So
yeah,
it's really
it's
cool.
Honestly, the feedback has been really, really good. And even the feedback from the community of people who've been playing it, it's all been because they want this to succeed. And I've really felt that. And like it's, and we've all really felt that. And it's just been, honestly, it's been such a magical experience, man. Like it's just been one of those ones where I feel very lucky and very blessed to have, you know, essentially been welcome with open arms from everyone and, you know, across the pond. And it's just been surreal, like even after the Game Awards and announcing it, all the interviews that have come into place, like this feeling of like, you know, not only just being supported by, like, as a, for example, like PlayStation, but also Xbox, Nintendo, like even Valve, like there's been so much support for this. And I think it's because, again, it's that whole thing of it's touching to, you know, to people in regards to it's about the art form of it all, you know what I mean? It's about the celebration of life through a game, rather than just, you know, putting out just another game out there, you know?
Mm-hmm. And now, in the beginning, when you started coming over with the idea to work on this project, was it always, you always wanted to do a Metroidvania style game, or do you have like different concepts of like, oh, we should do it this, well, we should do that,
so,
or not?
No, I mean, like, so the way it kind of worked out was, you know, I knew that the story, I knew what I wanted the story to be, I knew what the theme was, essentially grief. And this, it was about the journey of grief, rather than necessarily grief itself.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it came to picking the genre, it was always a Metroidvania. And that was because to me, the Metroidvania genre is the perfect encapsulation of what grief means. You know, you throw a character into the middle of nowhere where they feel almost powerless. They have no idea where they are. There's threats everywhere around the corner. You know, the tools that they will, you know, gain along the journey are essentially, they've always been there. You've just got to find them in order to kind of, you know, use the, you know, to get past the obstacles that you'll face constantly. And then also, you know, the important factor as well is, and this is really specifically what I find with Metroidvanias, is the longer you spend time in it, the more comfortable you get of the space. And that's essentially what grief is, right? The longer it's never going to go away and you'll never necessarily master it. But the longer you spend time in it, the more you kind of get used to it, the more comfortable you are with it, and the more you learn to live with it, you know?
Yeah, and I know earlier you mentioned about Ori, right? And
yeah.
Look, spoilers, guys. But in the beginning, it just right in the beginning, there's a moment where
yeah.
that it was like heartbreaking.
Yeah, it was heartbreaking.
And that was just within seconds, a minute or two, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
So even like that, and you're right, I think playing a Metroidvania game, you definitely will connect to the world. And I felt that playing your game within minutes, you know? So I think I think the more people play this game, I think they're also going to be connected to not only the characters, but the story, everything, man. I could definitely see that for sure.
Thank you, man. It's been such a blessed process, man. Like, I've been, like, honestly, I've really, really, really enjoyed it. And it's, and don't get me wrong, like, it's been tough. Like, game dev is tough, right? And, you know, we're a first studio, you know, first time learning how to work with one another. Like, this is our first game. So there's a lot of pressures there, but we were really driven solely driven by the idea of wanting to give something out there that meant a lot to us. Pure passion. It was purely led by passion. And I'm just so happy it stuck and landed, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you could tell. You could definitely tell that this is a passion project. More like, of course, business side and everything, but this is, you could tell that this is like a special game, you know? So yeah. Let's talk about the studio. So tell us the name of the studio and how long you guys been running now.
Surgeon tell us a little Studios. Bit about the team. Yeah.
Studios?
So, Surgent Studios, we've literally been going now for, oh, man, like, I'd say 4 years. So really, you know, the thing is like, I've been doing, like, you know, film and everything and whatnot since then. Like, and it's been really, you know, it's been really great fun and really, really cool to do. But, you know, really, truly, I'd say, like, this project right now has been the one that we have, that's essentially, you know, put us on everyone's radar. I built this team by slipping into so many DMs, bro.
Really? Like, really? Honestly. All social media.
Oh man. I like, honestly, because again, like, you know, I didn't know what it meant to build a team. I didn't know what it meant to sort of or what it would take, essentially, or how to make a game. Like, all I was driven by was this passion, was this idea of wanting to do this thing. And when it came to trying to recruit people or getting people, you know, learning about this, I was very much of the mentality of learning on the fly. Like, it was, all I knew was that this is what I wanted to do. And it had to be done as a video game. Like, that's it. And so then everything else kind of came, you know, through, you know, and I feel like I'm still learning, basically. I feel like I'm still sort of in this space of like, oh, okay, this is, you know, this is how, you know, this is what the poly count is, or this is how you optimize, you know. Even just recently, like, I didn't even know, like, the Steam Deck was a thing. And, like, suddenly, you know, I'm hearing people wanting this game on Steam, on the Steam Deck. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, as a team, we got to do it. And this is the thing. I feel like I've been very blessed with a team of people that essentially know that everything that we're doing is driven by love and by this thing. So we just adapt on the fly. We go with it. We flow with it. And so, yeah, man, it's been like, you know, we're 4 years in and we've really honestly just started to find our groove and get our groove going. And yeah, man, it's just been like a very wild process, you know. And look, don't get me wrong, I think we're all, you know, it's a team of like about 30 of us now. And, you know, we're all building, you know, and thinking about what's next and where to go next, but we're loving it, man. And like, we've all got the same drive of wanting to make an impact and change in the industry. Like, we want to set a good example, you know? We're new, we're fresh, we're young, and we're hungry, you know?
Yeah. And it's wild that you mentioned about Steam Deck, because that's how I started playing the game first. Was
no way.
yeah. Before, because I have a widescreen, you know, PC, I have consoles and everything, but usually I always play on my computer, but, you know, I think playing on the go, man, I love it. It's so
dope,
easy for
bro.
Me. Yeah, so easy.
That's
yeah,
dope.
Man. Yeah. So, I'm surprised you didn't know about the Steam Deck.
Yeah, Steam Deck, I honestly, awesome. This is the thing. Like, it was. Yeah. I think it must have crossed my radar. But it didn't necessarily land until people started talking about it. Do you know what I mean? And people would, you know, started asking for it. And again, we were thinking, like, you know, we've hit all platforms, but, you know, the Steam Deck is a thing. Like, it's a thing.
Yeah.
And I think, like, I ended up getting myself a Steam Deck, and I love it, man. Like, it's an incredible console. So, yeah, it was really funny to be like, oh, okay, cool. This is, this is something that, you know, we need to kind of, you know, build. And again, I put that all down to the team, because the team genuinely are, they know how much this means to each and every one of us. Mm-hmm. And that's because, again, I built this team and, you know, came across this, you know, the people, the you know, the key people in this team with this mentality of like, you know, I'm not an Ubisoft or an Epic. Like, we're an indie studio, we're a small studio. And even though we've got the EA Originals backing, it's not EA, it's just the Originals team. So we're all kind of, you know, trying to, we're led here by passion, by a sense of wanting to respect the art. It's all on us. And I'm so thankful for that, man. So thankful.
I mean, let me tell you, Abu, like, just seeing the process of like how the game was announced, and seeing also your team during like the presentations or the preview for like the content creators and journalists and stuff, like, you guys started really strong, really, really strong. You know, having the right game, the right partner, the right announcements throughout the past couple months. Like, it's for an indie company, you guys started really strong, man.
Oh, really, really strong. Thank you, man. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, especially, you know, seeing how much people are so excited for this game to come out, man. You know, that's in a couple of days. But I was going to ask you, like, was there anything that surprised you of reading, you know, from like the gamers or maybe reading stories of gamers once they learned more about your game? Was there anything that surprised you? You're like, oh my God, this is awesome.
I think it was just, again, just how welcoming everyone was, and just how, like, you know, again, it was that whole thing of, because look, I'm a gamer myself, right? And like, whenever I see a new game announced, I'm like, okay, cool, but where's the game? I got to see what the game is. Like, I got to play the game. I got to see it. But
yeah,
like, even when it came to, you know, because we wanted to push pre-orders, for example, we wanted to get people pre-ordering and everything. And mm-hmm. What was so great was like, people were doing it. You know, people were like, we believe in your vision. And mm-hmm. Honestly, that pre-ordering, you know, the numbers even, you know, shocked EA. Like, it was like to a point where it was like, wow, okay, maybe pre-orders are a thing. You know what I mean? Like, it's mm-hmm. And I think that's because people genuinely cared and wanted to show support. And that's the thing. You'd be surprised by how supportive the actual industry is. You know,
mm-hmm.
like, Twitter ain't necessarily the best place in regards to kind of representing the games industry.
Yeah.
You know, there is so much out there, and there are so many people out there who just want you to win. And mm-hmm. I think, like, that's what's been really lovely. That's what's been really shocking in a way, mm-hmm. just the level of support that we've got.
Yeah. And you know what? I even forgot to ask you, man. Tell us a little bit about the character, the main character in the game, man.
Oh, man.
And I was going to ask you a question after that, but go ahead.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah. So Zhao is essentially, Zhao was a creation of, again, it was that whole thing of like, I didn't want to represent myself specifically. I almost was pulling from a shade of myself. The difference between, for example, like Zhao and me is kind of in the sense of like, I know the reality of what I live in. Whereas mm-hmm. Zhao is almost in a space of like, nope, I'm determined. I know what I want to do. I know I can bring my father back. This is what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. And he's very kind of, not necessarily, he's led by his emotions. He's almost what I wish I kind of was to a degree mm-hmm. after I lost my father, being so open with my emotions. At the time when I lost my father, I shut off. I closed down. I didn't want any, you know, I was almost like, nope, it's all cool. It's what it is. And I'll just keep going forward. Whereas Zhao's like, no. This is how I feel. This is what I'm feeling. And I need to act on this. And that's essentially what Zhao is to me. Like, he represents this defiant sort of person who's driven to get what he, you know, to get what he wants. But at the same time, even then, the extreme element of it, he will learn a big lesson as to maybe that isn't not always the way to go through.
Yeah, and I know Zhao, you can switch different masks. You know, the blue and also orange represents the sun. Now, which of those masks represents you?
Oof. probably the sun, man. The sun? Probably the red mask. Because again, like, you know, for me, that's, even though, you know, whenever I told the team about, you know, what I wanted to kind of encapture with the Sun Mask, it was all about this almost chaotic fury, this movement, this dance, this kind of sense of like, you know, high risk, high reward kind of element. And I think like that's kind of how I go about life. You know, you don't go in with a plan, you go with it and the plan comes afterwards. It's like, for me, I'd say is definitely my vibe. Whereas like the Moon Mask is almost like something, probably what everyone says I should be like. Surgical, calculated, know where I'm going and where I'm placing the shots, you know?
Yeah, I mean, but people, for those that haven't played the game, you know, the Moon and the Sun, it plays, when you wear those masks, it plays very, very different. Some of them is very quick pace. Some other one might be a little bit slower, but we'll get also high damage, you know? That's why.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... Yep. So now, I mean, there's going to be cases where you're like, you know, I'm going to switch. is it because of the damage? Is it because of the more quick?
It's a dance. It's a balance. You know, mm-hmm. I think like it's about whatever you're faced with at the moment. Like, I think that's mm-hmm. the sort of way that we wanted to approach it. You could play this game technically, you know, fighting all the enemies in one mask. It would just take a very long time. And it's not as simple. You know, it's about this balance, this dance between both the Sun and the Moon that will allow you to kind of progress through it in a way that it's almost feels seamless. Like that's really, truly the secret. The secret is that dancing element of it all. You know, you might do a few shots with your blue mask while you're kind of closing the distance, switch to the red, and then suddenly you've got like, you know, you've got things going, switch mm-hmm. again back to, you know, to the Moon Mask and, you know, crowd control kind of elements. So like this is all part and parcel of it all as the journey sort of progresses.
Mm. Yeah, I know we're almost done here, but I know you worked on Assassin's Creed with voice acting there now. A couple months ago, was it a couple weeks ago? I can't remember. My time is super off. But I know you guys announced the cast that also, the voice cast there in the game. Now, were you part of this process? Like, you know, selecting the right people?
Everything.
Like,
everything.
So how was that process for you guys?
It was crazy. Get the right folks? It was great because, yeah. You know, again, I'm in a position where I'm like, you know, I'm selecting the people who, you know, really, truly, you know, meant a lot in my life. And, you know, and you know, the people that I've learned from, like Tristan Lalo, who plays Kalunga, he was actually the first actor I worked with on Assassin's Creed Origins. And he really sort of, he was like my guy, like my North Star man in regards to that. You know, Steve Toussaint, who plays Bomani, he plays my father in House of the Dragon. So like, you know, that was really, really cool to bring him on board. And again, he was he's been really lovely when we've been filming on set. You've got, you know, Dominique Moore, who's just an incredible human being, you know, great friend. She actually doesn't live too far from me, which is, you know, amazing. And like, you know, we're always kind of crossing paths and chatting as a whole. You know, you've got Simona as well. Simona, I recently worked with on a piece of work. It was like a pilot. But what ended up happening essentially is like we just ended up connecting. On such a great level. She's, you know, such a brilliant human being. And then Latoya, you know, Latoya, who plays Mama, she's, you know, South African. She's a Sangoma. So, you know, I went to her to ask for knowledge in regards to sort of what it means to be, you know, what does it mean to be spiritual and like a spiritual sort of healer in you know, in South Africa, essentially. Mm-hmm. And then you got, you know, Abraham, who's, I've been, you know, I went to school with Abraham, man. Like, Abraham, we go way back. So, like, it was really cool to bring him on board, too. So, yeah, man, it was all cast by me, directed by me as well. It was really cool.
It's stressful.
Yeah, it's stressful. But again, at the same time, I'd say, like, that process was really enjoyable because it almost mm-hmm. felt like this was my moment. I know how to do this.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you're also talking about the African roots, culture. Like, I just love that because there's people that, you know, they'll play games and they don't know anything. Like, for me, I love speaking about, you know, Latin culture and where my parents are from and all that stuff. So how important was it for you to, you know, to share that to the world, you know, because there's a lot of people don't know much about African culture.
It was so important because, again, this was one of those ones where, if I'm going to, you know, represent my father and represent sort of essentially where he comes from and his culture and what he meant to me authentically, mm-hmm. it's got to speak from from that mother tongue of Swahili, and that, you know, of Kenya, essentially. It starts there, and then it branches out to all, you know, to the Bantu tribes. It was really important because for me, that's what I grew up. That's how I grew up, man. I grew up with my family and going to Kenya all the time. Like, that's who I am, and that's who my father was. And that needed to be shown in order to, again, really pay this ode to him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it was something that just had to happen that way.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Now we're gonna wrap it up here. And my last question is, you know, how nervous are you? But the game comes out just in a couple of days, man. And,
I wake up.
Honestly, I'm excited to see the process of, like, the game is out. I just want to see, like, people's reaction playing it for the first time. Because, you know, journalists and media, you know, you get the games early, but it's different when it's just the average person playing a game for the first time. Like, how you felt playing, you know, Ori in the Blind Forest for the first time, and, you know, and all this, you know what I'm saying? So
it's exciting. So nervous. I'm terrified, man. I am terrified. But at the same time, I'm like, you know what? We've done the best of what we can right now. It's all we can do.
Gotta celebrate your wins, man. Celebrate your wins for sure, man. And congratulations to you and the whole team. Everyone, now for those that want to know more about the game, more information, official date, and the platform, so they could also buy this game.
Yeah, I mean, it's as I say, like, it's the official date, the 23rd of April. God, for coming out the 23rd of April.
Countdown begins. Let's go.
It's crazy. And then, you know, we're on all platforms, you know, Steam, which is on PC, Epic Store as well. We're on PlayStation, Xbox, Nintendo Switch. Yeah, we're everywhere, bro.
Yeah, there you go, guys. So make sure to support Abu and the whole crew over there, man. So this is gonna be a really amazing time, man, for just gaming in general, man. So I can't wait. Congratulations, man.
Thank you, man.
Yeah.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, shout out to Abu. Thank you so much for the interview. It was a great time recording with you. Actually, I woke up really, really early because of the time difference. He's located in the UK and I'm in Los Angeles. So I woke up like around 6 a.m. to record this interview. So, but shout out to him. Shout out to EA Originals, the whole EA team. It was a great, great time doing this, man. So, but everyone, let me know your thoughts about the interview. Are you excited about Tales of Canzerro Zhao? Let us know. And also, I'm going to post a poll if you're planning to buy this game. Yes, no, or maybe. Just go right now to Spotify after listening to this episode and vote. Let us know your thoughts about the game. I personally think the game is phenomenal. If you're into Metroidvania type style game, this is something that I think you're going to love. It reminds me a lot of Ori and the Blind Forest, Metroid, Castlevania. What other games? Like, there's a lot of games like that. Also, like Dead Cells, stuff like that. So, really, really cool, man. And thank you to EA also for sending me the package, man. That was a lot of fun opening, doing an unboxing with Abu. Great conversation overall, man. So, all right, guys. So, we'll be back next week. Brand new episode. Until next time, I'm out. Take care. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.